Good evening. Enjoyed the good song service there just a little bit ago. Didn't hear the Hill family. My mind goes back to, I guess, eons of time ago when I got to sit with them over at their house oftentimes, and they would sing, and I would sit there and wish I could sing. I would tell them that I was cut out to sing. I just got sewed up wrong. But I enjoyed fellowshipping with them and sitting at their table oftentimes. And that was such a joy, y'all. I want you to know that. And I love you, Hill family. I appreciate you. Appreciate your prayers down through the years and your support. We love this family very, very dearly. And we love this church, Fletcher First Baptist Church. And we love the place that God has sent us to in Spruce Pine. And we're thankful that God gives us people into our lives to help us to do better and to help us to have friends and to be encouraged in this life. And we're so thankful for that. I want to read tonight out of the 8th chapter of the Psalms. And I want to ask the Hill family if y'all would come back. Just get them to come back. I would like for y'all to sing tonight, His Life for Mine. That song has been on my heart while y'all were singing. I'll be honest, if I don't ask you to sing it, I'm going to be disobedient. So you just come right on right now. Y'all can stand one more song, surely. Amen? Y'all just go ahead and sing. I'm just going to go sit down. Just go ahead. And the service had ended that night, and everybody was going home. Most people had already left the parking lot. And I asked them, I said, would you sing one song for your old pastor? And they said, whatever you want to sing, whatever wants to sing, we'll try. Don't know that we have the words. But you know, you can just take some people and throw them under the bus, and they'll just lift the bus right off of them. And how God used them tonight, that night, to minister to my heart at the end of that service. And we ended up staying there. People began to come back in from the parking lot and off the, y'all remember that? Back off the porch. We had a time. Revival, it was after revival service it broke out. Y'all sing, please.
His heart was broken, mine was mended. He became sin, now I am clean. His scars of suffering brought me healing. I'm gonna mess it up again. His crown of thorns. Let's start over. I don't want to. The nails that held him set me free. His life for mine. His life for mine. How could it ever be that he would die? God's Son would die to save a wretch like me. What love divine, he gave his life for mine. His scars of suffering brought me healing. He shed his blood to fill my soul. His crown of thorns made me royalty. His sorrow gave me joy untold. His life for mine. His life for mine. How could it ever be? that he would die. God's son would die to save a wretch like me. What love divine, he gave his life for mine. He was disguised and rejected, stripped of his garments and oppressed. I am loved and accepted, and I wear a robe of righteousness. His life for mine, his life for mine. How could it ever be that he would die? God's son would die to save a wretch like me. What love divine, he gave his life for
mine. I needed to hear that. I hope you did. Psalm 8, I'll ask if you will please stand to your feet. Thank you, Hill family, for coming back and singing that song for us to hear tonight. Psalm 8, verse 1. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the pass of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Father, tonight we thank you for the word of God. We thank you for your son, Jesus Christ. Lord, how can it be that you would give your son, who is righteous, for a wicked sinner such as I? Lord, I marvel in that fact tonight. And yet, Lord, I glory in that fact tonight. I glory in the cross of Calvary. Thank you for your son, his sacrifice for his great love. Lord, I pray now that you'd help us as we look into this portion of thy word, that you'd speak to our hearts. You'd help us to treasure what you have given to us. Help us to prize it. Help us to value it, Lord. Speak tonight, I pray, for thy servant heareth, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. We thank you for standing. You may be seated. The Bible says in Psalm 111, verse 9, holy and reverend is his name. I want to preach on this thought tonight. What is in a name? Names may often reflect someone's character, may be their ambition. You certainly can see in the scripture, we think of one that was named Benjamin, which means son of my right hand, but before that, his mother had named him Son of My Sorrow, and his daddy changed that name. And we know that Jacob himself, his name means deceiver or supplanter. And there came a time when he got right with God that the Lord changed his name to Israel. For as a prince, he had power with God. I think of a young man by the name of Jabez. The Bible says Jabez that he had a heart for God. He had a heart that for God that his brethren did not have. But the name Jabez means son of my sorrow. He had a terrible name. And he was ashamed of his name. And he wanted to change his name. And the Bible says that Jabez called on the God of Israel. It is important that you realize who he called on, the God of Israel. Israel himself had experienced a name change from Jacob to Israel. And Jabez said, I'm needing that. I'm needing the name change. I'm glad, praise God tonight, that my name once stood with sinners, so lost and vile. But when Jesus gave his life for me and shed his blood and saved me, my name now stands with royalty in the Lamb's book of life. Not anything that I've done, but what Jesus has done for me. And how excellent is his name tonight. His name is above every other name. His name is above our government. His name is above our president. His name is above our candidates. His name stands higher than any name will ever be named. I begin to think about how people call someone. I think about the name Elizabeth. I know some folks call Elizabeth, they call her Beth. Or some call her Liz. Or some call her Lizzie. But it all refers to the same person. And I begin to sit down going through the Word of God. Begin to write down the names I found in Scripture that identified with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It took me days, and as I began to work on this, just a list, and come back and try to put it in alphabetical order, I'm telling you, there was a lot of times as I was finding Scripture and writing these names, I'd just get down and weep. Fall out under my desk. Just tonight, I was a little late getting to church because I tried to type all that. All these pages. 226 names that I found in the Word of God which represent my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And yet there are still others. I begin to think about that Psalm 111, verse 9. Reverend, that's not on my list. I begin to think about Exodus 34:14, where the Bible says, the Lord whose name is Jealous. His name is Jealous. What about that? Look that verse up. That's not on my list. 228. I told Luke, he said, Dad, what are you going to preach tonight? I said, I'm going to preach on Jesus. I'm going to preach on what's in a name. I found some 226 names. That's just another way of saying Jesus. He said, how many of them are you going to preach? I said, 225. Until midnight, and I'll preach the last one after tomorrow. Amen. I want to look tonight at the name of Jesus. God said, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And I really want to look, some of y'all are already scared, said, oh, he's really going to preach. 225. Read us it, though. I just want to preach on one of them. Jesus. I want to look at that tonight. Jesus. And how often we use the name Jesus improperly. I believe sometimes we forget to recognize the importance of that name. It's sacred. It's holy. A lot of times you'll express it even without thought, carelessly, flippantly. You'll just utter a little prayer and you'll put that little tag on there. In Jesus' name, amen. You don't really value, you don't really treasure what that name, who it is, and what it stands for. And I want tonight, just for a little bit, to examine it. Some people, they abuse this name Jesus by their lifestyle. In the book of Romans chapter 2, I'll read this tonight. We that are saved and use the name of Jesus often don't abuse his name by your lifestyle. Verse 21. Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest not thyself. Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law dishonorest thou God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written. You understand, when you name the name of Jesus, when you've called on Him and He saved you, and now you are a Christian, which means a little Christ, are you bringing shame or reproach on the name of Jesus by the lifestyle that you live? The question comes to me, am I living in a way that I would bring honor to my Savior? Or am I living in a way that I might bring reproach upon His name? I want to make sure when I use the name of Jesus that I use it properly. Now in the New Testament, in the early church days, you're going to see the early church hold the name of Jesus with great importance. They recognize the power of Jesus' name. I want to read a couple of those in your hearing. In the book of Acts, chapter number 3. Very familiar text, verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." I might call time out here and shout a while. Because it was in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that I was saved, that I was healed, that I was made whole, that I was that crippled boy that He gave power to stand up. And the Bible said He took him by his right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Chapter 4, verse 1. And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day. For it was now eventide. All they did was in the name of Jesus. And all these people are tore up and upset. And they arrest them. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed. And the number of the men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas, these are they who were putting Jesus to death earlier, and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, "Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole." By what name? The name
of Jesus. Preacher Darren, what's his name? His name is Jesus. Everything is about Jesus. They spoke the name of Jesus by faith. They respected the power of his name. And even the lost people began to pick up on the power of Jesus' name. The problem is, they don't have the authority to use his name. They only have the authority to call on his name for salvation. You and I, once we're saved, he's given us an authority to call upon his name. In the book of Acts, chapter number 19, we read in verse 13, Preacher Darren, you're taking all day for your introduction. I told you I've got till just after midnight. Verse 13, then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit, even the demons know. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus, I know. And Paul, I know. But who are ye? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. What's the name? Jesus. Do I have authority to use that name? Jesus. If you're a believer tonight, you do. If you're lost tonight, you need to call on the name Jesus. He'll save you from your sins, forgive you of all trespasses and iniquities that you've ever committed. He'll be the best friend you've ever had if you'll call on the name of Jesus. I want to think tonight real quickly, what is in a name? Number one, you and I must place our faith in the name of Jesus. For 400 long years, dark years, silent years, God had not spoken to the earth, society, or civilization. And one day the angel came and said, she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. In this text in the book of Acts that we read in your hearing, chapter 4, you are commanded, we are commanded to believe in Jesus' name. Verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The name of Jesus can do what no other name can do. Buddha can't save you. Muhammad can't save you. Confucius can't save you. There is salvation in one name. There is one name to place your faith in. There is one name you can confidence. There is one name that you can count on. There is one name that you can trust. And his name is Jesus. We must place our faith in the name of Jesus. Now the sons of Sceva did not know Jesus, but Paul did. And so did those demons. And I'm telling you what, they jumped on them sons of Sceva, tore them all to pieces, and run them out of that house completely naked and wounded. There was a preacher one time, said that a person had come to his house for counseling, and he and his wife had counseled this person, and said they were getting ready to pray with them, and said, now, I want you, when you pray, you're going to call on the name of Jesus. I want you to do so. And they wouldn't. And I said, I want you to tell Satan, tell him, say, I do not belong to you. Person looked at him. Said, tell them that Jesus defeated Satan on the cross. And the woman that was sitting there being counseled jumped up on the back of the couch, dug in her claws, so to speak. Her demeanor changed and she said, "You are a liar." You see why? When they mention the name of Jesus, the attack is on and the devil is on the prowl. The preacher said, "Brother Darren, all I need to do is hit the floor on my face." I never looked up. I began to call on the name of Jesus. I said, "Oh God, Jesus, would you help us? Jesus, would you rebuke this spirit? Jesus." And he said, "I'm telling you what, in just a little bit, the demons were on the flee." And the woman climbed off the couch, landed on her face, and began to call on Jesus to forgive her of her sins. And she got gloriously saved and stood up and said, "I just want to say I feel a whole lot better. And Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and He saved me from my sins. And now I'm going to heaven." Ain't no devil can do that. We must place our faith in the name of Jesus. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is born of God. Bible says, "Repent and be ye baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins." Number two, you and I must prize the name of Jesus. You must love the name of Jesus. You must make the name of Jesus the sweetest name that you know. I think about J. Harold Smith. A lot of y'all knew Brother Smith preaching the Word of God. I remember I went with Dad over to the motel to pick him up. I said, "Dad, if you'll just let me ride in the back seat, you won't even know I'm here. I'll listen to you fellas talk. I want to pick up and glean everything that I can get. I want to learn about Jesus. Can I just go with you?" He said, "Come on." We rode over there to the motel to get him. We went up to his room, get him, and knocked on the door. The door opened. He said, "I'm just about done, fellas." He was finishing up tying his tie. We stepped into the room. There sat Sister Meredith. She just had the glory of God all over her. And I want you to know, we looked, and there was a yellow notepad that was leaned up against the lampstand with the light on there. And I looked at that notepad, and it had just pages written and written and written and written. And I said, "Preacher, what's this?" He said, "It's my love letter to Jesus today." I said, "It's your what?" He said, "It's my love letter to Jesus today." He said, "You can look at it if you want to." I was just about afraid to touch it. But I reached. He said, "Go ahead." And I reached behind and I pulled that yellow notebook. I pulled that yellow notepad out. I'm telling you, page after page after page, tear stains all over those pages. And he's telling Jesus over and over and over how much he loved him and how much he thanked him and how much he appreciated him. I'm telling you, you'd do well to write a note to Jesus every day. You'd do well to thank Jesus every day. You'd do well to speak off with thy Lord. You'd do well to use the name of Jesus every day. And I'm telling you, we got in the service that night. Hey, before we left the motel, he led the girl at the front desk to the Lord. We got in the service. I couldn't tell you how many got saved. Hallelujah! The name of Jesus will work. Do you prize the name of Jesus? I know when my wife and I were courting, and sometimes still do, we write notes back and forth to each other. And when we were dating, and I'd dropped her bike off at the house, and I'd come home about 2 o'clock in the morning, I'd wake up and I had her on my mind. And the devil would start saying, "Well, she's probably talking to some other fella. Look at you. I mean, J. Harold Smith told me I had to tell a lot of lies to get her to go out with me, and I probably did. And about 2 o'clock in the morning, you get them thoughts on your mind. You get up and you go over to your desk and you pull that note out that she wrote you. You start reading it. Boy, it sure gives you calm assurance. And the next thing you know, you start writing one right back. I'm telling you, at 2 o'clock in the morning, when the devil starts attacking you, get the Word of God and start reading how much Jesus Christ loves you. Some of y'all looking at me strange. Y'all really still write notes back and forth together? Amen. We do. Let me say this. We've got a little dog. It's a Shih Tzu. Her name is Macy. She got a little bow in her hair. Got a little tail that goes up like this. Just wags it, wags it, wags it. And if my wife takes off to Walmart and leaves Macy home with me, sometimes I'm the devil's advocate. I'll say, "Macy, Mama's gone." She left you. And it's just me and you. What are you going to do now? And she'll start running all through the house looking for Miss Gina. She'll run to the bedroom, run to the kitchen, running all over the house. And she'll come back and look at me. I said, I told you she's gone. She left you. She don't love you. She's forgot about you. Mama's gone. Oh, Mama's gone. And just in a little bit, that dog will go to howling. Oh. And Macy's a good example of what the devil does to me and to you. Jesus has left you, he says. He don't really care about you. Look at all your problems. And you start looking at all your problems and all your places, and you just feel like you can't find him anywhere. And he says, boo. Boo. Oh, Lord, would you help me about 2 o'clock in the morning, amen, or maybe 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And I'm telling you something, about the time my wife come back home from Walmart and opens that door, that dog hears her, her ears go up, she goes to running over there, and she's just jumping on her back legs and Nessa said, ha, 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 ha. Now who's right and who's wrong? Hey, that's what we ought to do when Jesus comes around and the presence of God gets in the house of God. We ought to get there in here to dancing around, say, ha, 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 ha. The name of Jesus is above anything you got, old devil. Are y'all okay? I said the name of Jesus is above all other names.
Amen.
The preacher's done preaching on the front row. We'll not come back. Number 3. There's power in the name of Jesus. Let me illustrate like this. A basketball in my hands, started to bring one tonight, is worth $15. But if you take that basketball and you put it in the hands of LeBron James, it's worth $23.5 million a year. Luke and I went to one of these sports stores. And I was standing there looking around, and you know he's into all looking fly and all this stuff, how you young people do it. And I seen a hat up there, and it had a big L and a big J in the shape of a crown. And I said, son, I want you to look at that hat. Man, that's awesome. He said, that's LeBron James' hat. I said, what? He said, he's a king. I thought it was for the Lord Jesus. So I didn't buy that LeBron James hat. But if it had been Lord Jesus, I'd have carried it around. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. A football in my hands is worth $12. And if I throw it, you probably can't catch it. But if you put that football in the hands of Cam Newton, quarterback of the Panthers, it's worth $20.7 million. Put a baseball bat in my hands, $30. Put it in the hands of A-Rod for the Yankees, $29 million. Put a steering wheel in my hands, I'll probably get a ticket. The steering wheel's worth $50. But put it in the hands of Dale Earnhardt Jr., it's worth $23.5 million. You understand the importance of taking things out of your hands and putting it in the hands of someone who knows what to do with it. I've then got to learn to get my problems and my weights and my burdens out of my hands and put them in the hands of Jesus. Preacher Darren, how much is that worth? You can't measure the worth of turning things over to Jesus Christ. But you got to know this. You've got to learn that you have the authority to appropriate the name of Jesus in your situation. Number 4. We can pray in Jesus' name. In fact, look at John 14. Verse 13, I love this text. You are commanded to use His name when you pray. John 14, 13. And whatsoever, Preacher Darren, what about this? Whatsoever, well, what about so-and-so? Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now let's just think for a second. In the book of Mark chapter 9, Jesus has been with his disciples up on the top of Mount of Transfiguration. He's taken three of them up there. Who were they? Peter, James, and John. The other nine were left down below. Maybe they slept that night. I don't know. But I want you to know that the other nine were down on the bottom while the other three were up on the top with Jesus. And here comes a man. He's got a son that's got problems. He's possessed of demons. Oftentimes they try to throw him in the fire. They try to drown him. And I want you to know this man comes to those disciples and said, listen, here's my son. Got demons. Can you help us? And don't you know those boys? They said, oh, yes, in Jesus' name, demon be gone. Yes, in Jesus, because we've cast out demons before. We've seen the power of God used before. But for some reason, their faith was waning, and they couldn't cast the demon out of this boy. And I'm telling you, I don't care how hard they tried, I don't care how saved they pretended to be, nothing happened. And Jesus and the other three came down the mountain about that time, and Jesus saw the uproar, and he said, what's going on? And the father said, I brought my son to your disciples that they might heal him, and they could not. And if thou canst do anything, Jesus stopped him right there. It's not if I can do anything. All things are possible. Here's the thing. If thou canst believe, the if's not on him, the if's on me. If thou canst believe, all things are possible. I brought him to thy disciples and they could not. And if thou, you see, their inability casts doubt on his ability. The way you carry yourself and the way you conduct yourself is causing others to cast doubt on the power that is in Jesus' name. And won't you know Jesus looked about that time? And the Bible says the devil threw him down on the ground. Jesus pulled the demons out of him. And the boy was laying there for dead. Now hear me. Jesus had to hear from that father. It's what he had to hear. That boy's wallowing there on the ground now. The demons are tormenting him, and Jesus is getting ready to cast the demons out. Jesus is still standing there looking at that father. Now, you and I probably would have been first responders, said, oh, Lord, let's get this boy up. What are we going to do? Let's help him. Let's help him. That's not what Jesus did. He stayed looking at the father. And the father bowed at Jesus' feet. And he said, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Before the prayer was answered, the unbelief of the father was dealt with. And before your prayer request gets answered, you just think, well, I'll just go up there in Jesus' name and I'll get it. Before the prayer request is answered, you're going to have to confess, Lord, I believe, but help thou mine unbelief. My belief is not perfect. My belief is not even mustard seed faith. But I believe what he's saying to us is, just give me what little you got, and I can work with it. And about that time, Jesus cast them demons out. And he's in the lifting business, and he lifted that little boy back up to his feet. The Bible tells us in the text later on that when the disciples, those nine, and the three were joined back together with Jesus, and they were alone, the nine scratched their head and said, Jesus, let us ask you something. We remember back there earlier in Mark when you gave us power to cast out evil spirits. You gave us power to preach the gospel. You gave us power to do some great things. But why could we not do it here? Jesus said, this kind cometh not but by prayer and fasting. There's a principle we've moved away from. Humbling ourselves before Almighty God. We think we can just throw that little tag in Jesus' name and you said whatever I ask in your name, you'll do it. But what about your condition? What about your faith? What about your unbelief? What about the hardness of your heart? What about the lack of sincerity from you? What about the lack of burden from you? I mean, Fletcher's First Baptist, do you really want to have revival? Do you really want to see your family saved? Do you really? Do you really long for the presence of God to come down amongst you? It won't be popular. But do you really long for it? He said, this kind cometh not, but by prayer and fasting. And I'm telling you, church, it comes when we appropriate this in Jesus' name. I watched last night as I was driving home. There was an unmarked police car on the side of the interstate on the right-hand side. And yes, I was doing the speed limit right on it. And I sure was glad I was. But there was a line of cars coming in the t'other lane, was probably making 85 or 90. They were moving on. And that black car, in the cover of darkness, blue lights came on. And I saw him enter. Thought, here he comes. Just in a minute, he weeded through them cars that started trying to pull in up above me, everybody's bowing up now. And he gets that ringleader, and he escorted whoever that was to the side of the road. Y'all pray for them. God bless them. They got a big old ticket, I promise you that. You know what it was that escorted that front person to an 80, 85, 90 miles an hour over? It was the authority behind those blue lights. You understand that the name of Jesus has authority. You can pray in Jesus' name. You can ask anything in His name. I'll give you a poor illustration, another one. True story. A farmer looked out in his field and saw a man with a business suit on standing in the middle of his field. And the farmer went out and said, "Sir, can I help you?" He said, "I'll have you to know, my name is so-and-so, I work for the state of North Carolina, and we're getting ready to put a new road through these fields." He said, "Listen, here's my business card, and it tells you that we have the authority to be here, we have the authority to do what we need." Not a very polite man. And the farmer said, "Well, whatever, mister, but whatever you do, don't you get in that field over there, or don't you get in that field over there." He said, "Sir, this car tells me I can go in any one of these fields that I want to. Behind me is the authority of the state of North Carolina. And the federal government's right behind that." Farmer walked away. Just about 5 minutes later, he looked. And he seen that man running and screaming, "Oh, help me! Mister, 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 help me!" And behind him was a bull. And the farmer said, "Show him your card! Show him your card!" Hello? You see, the bull doesn't recognize the authority of the state of North Carolina. The bull doesn't recognize the authority of the government of the United States of America. But I'm telling you, that bull would have respected the name of Jesus. Every devil in hell, every storm, every crisis, every need, bow to the authority of Jesus Christ. And when you pray, you make sure you pray in Jesus' name. One more and we're done. I want you to learn then to proclaim the name of Jesus. In the book of Acts, let's go back to this text where we started. In the book of Acts chapter number 4, the Bible would tell us in verse 18 that these two they've arrested, Peter and John, you know, after the paralyzed, the crippled man was healed, and now he's leaping and praising God. 5,000 people's getting saved, and this thing's getting bigger and bigger and out of control, and now they've arrested them, and as they've arrested them, they've really given an opportunity to testify more and to tell more about Jesus. And this is what it said in verse 18. "And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus." That's where we're going in the United States. You have the freedom to do what you want to, they'll say. But do not speak or teach in the name of Jesus. But
Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. We can go to another situation, Acts chapter 5. They said in verse 29, we ought to obey God rather than men. Verse 40, and to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded them that they should not speak in the name of Jesus. And they let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ. We need to preach Jesus. We need to sing about Jesus. We need to pray in the name of Jesus. We need to shout and praise God in the name of Jesus. There's a missionary woman in India, and her name was Mrs. Henderson. One day she was sitting on the patio of the Dufferin Hospital, reading and enjoying the Word of God. And suddenly a very distinct Hindu woman walked up to her who was fully clad in her Hindu customary garments. And Mrs. Henderson got up to greet the woman, and which she did, out of her Bible fell a picture of Holman Hunt's painting of Jesus being the light of the world. And you realize that he's standing there, he's knocking on the door. Doorknob on the outside, holding the lamp in his hand. And the little Hindu lady looked and said, tell me who this painting is of. And she said, this is a depiction of Christ knocking at the door. And whosoever will, let him in. He will come in unto them, and he will sup with them. He will save them and change their life forever. She invited her to open that door and let Jesus come in and have fellowship with her. But though she listened intently, because of her customs and her family, she would not receive Christ at that moment. Later on in the wintertime, Mrs. Henderson went to visit that little Hindu lady. And when she got there at her house, she noticed that the door of her house was open. And she came and stood outside the door and called her name. And she noticed how bitterly cold and how terrible the weather was. Yet the door was open. The little Hindu lady approached the door and she said, Mrs. Henderson. She thanked her for coming to see her. Mrs. Henderson said, why in the middle of the winter time, why in the middle of the cold, why would you have your door wide open, inviting in anything? And she said, I know it's cold and I feel the cold, but I just thought that maybe your Jesus would come by today. And I wanted my door to be open so that he could just come on in and be welcome in my home. Mrs. Henderson led that lady to faith in Christ. And I wonder tonight, in your family, in your home and in mine, is Jesus welcome in every discussion? Is Jesus prioritized in every decision? Is Jesus praised? Is he sought out? Are we seeking him? Are we teaching our children Jesus, Jesus, Jesus? Or is he just a tag to the end of the prayer? Is Jesus just someone we merely mention from time to time? Is Jesus just a name we talk about when we're getting ready to go to church? Or do we really praise and prize and seek and pray in the name of Jesus? Do we proclaim it? Church, I want to tell you something. I want to be real honest. Our churches are filled with people who only use the name of Jesus from some distance. And tonight, he wants to be so much more than a tagline. He wants to be so much more than you're allowing him to be. I pray that you would see him bigger than you've ever seen him before. I want you to stand to your feet tonight. Someone come to piano, please. There might be some that said, preacher, I'm going to call the name of Jesus for salvation. There might be somebody tonight say, I'm going to call on the name of Jesus to meet a need. I'm going to call on the name of Jesus for healing. I'm going to call on the name of Jesus for provision. I'm going to call on the name of Jesus for thanks. I'm going to call on the name of Jesus to give Him glory and to give Him honor. I don't know who you are, but tonight in this place, the Lord wanted you to be reminded of the power in Jesus' name and how you ought to treasure that name above every other name. It's amazing to me how I get around people and they try to name drop on me. Preacher Darren, do you know Preacher so-and-so? Preacher Darren, do you know Governor so-and-so? Preacher Darren, do you know Congressman so-and-so? Preacher Darren, do you know ball player so-and-so? And they name drop. You know, I rarely does someone say, Preacher Darren, do you know Jesus? He's the greatest name I know. He's my Savior and how I adore Him and how I love Him. I wish you'd just go to name dropping. The name of Jesus above all names. Your head bowed, nobody looking. Sisters playing tonight. I wonder, is there somebody here to say, Preacher Darren, I'm telling you, you're right. I want to get in this altar and I want to call on the name of Jesus. You may say, Preacher Darren, I've called on the name of Jesus like no other. This message didn't help me a bit. It'll never get old to me. Calling on the name of Jesus and treasuring His name above all of the names. Who's going to step out? God bless you. Anybody else, you need to slip out tonight and say, I am going to call on the name of Jesus tonight. There's a need that's above what we could ever do. You got right down here at this church underneath this cross a little old can that says, God can, and His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. What will you do, Fletcher? What will you do? Father, how we thank You tonight for the name that's above every other name, the name of Jesus. And I thank You for the manifestation of Your person bodily in Jesus Christ. He's the fullness of the Godhead. And Lord, how we praise You that He came to this earth and lived a sinless life and gave that life a ransom for my soul. And the forgiveness of my sins, that I might be born again. That I might be the righteousness of God in Him. And Lord, I praise You tonight. And Father, not only do I have family members that are lost, friends that are wayward. Lord, tonight there are needs that specifically we need so desperately. It's not I want to's. It's not even wishes. Lord, it is needs tonight that are there before us. And only You can meet those needs. So I'm asking You, in the name of Jesus, would You go forward? Would You supply? Would You be so kind, sir, as to provide for the need in this hour? And Lord, we know where it comes from, and we praise You for hearing us, and we thank You for meeting that need tonight. Lord, I'm thankful that You're a friend that sticketh closer than any brother. You're the Alpha and the Omega. You're the beginning and the end. You are the author of salvation. You're the omnipotent one. You're the bright and morning star. You're the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. You are Lord of lords and King of kings. And we glory in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank You for the privilege You've given us of being Your child. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. a little boy stood outside the palace. Just a peasant boy, least than a common citizen. He longed to go into the palace to see it. He had dreamed of it for years. He came there to the front entrance, and the royal guard stopped him and said, "Who are you?" He told him his name. It meant nothing to them. They pushed him to the side and continued to stand guard. The little boy tried again to slip in with others. He couldn't get in. They pushed him to the side. He stood over by the fence, holding on to the fence and looking through that barrier, beholding that beautiful palace and how he desired to go inside. He stood there and he wept and he cried because there was no way in from where he was, until a man walked up and he said, "Son, may I help you?" He said, "Mister, that's the palace for our country. And all I want to do is go inside those gates and see it. But those armed guards down there won't let me in. They don't know who I am." And he said, "Come with me, son." And the little boy by faith put his hand in that man. And that man walked him around that fence railing, walked to the front gate. And the armed guards drew back at attention and they bowed their head as that little boy walked through holding hands with that young man. He said, "I don't understand this. Who is he?" He walked all the way into the palace, showed him all around, brought him all the way back to where the king's throne was sitting. The little boy bowed there, and the young man said, "Son, I'm the prince, and as long as you're with me, you are welcome in my home." I'm glad tonight that I was that little boy that was shut out and had no way in. But there was one named Jesus who found me on the outside. And he said, "If you'll put your hand in mine, son, I'll take you all the way to glory. And you'll see the throne of Almighty God and be reunited with your loved ones. You'll have a home of perfect peace and happiness for all of eternity. And now I've joined myself to that man. And I'm a citizen of that foreign country. Now it's my home. His name is Jesus. And he is my Savior."
What a message. I thought everyone this week's been good, and it has, but that was the most helpful to all of us. The name of Jesus. It wasn't God's word, something God telling you to do. You have